Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to this, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are just three mates that love the game, and we could be off on the beach somewhere, we could be out in sunshine, we're in a darkened dungeon talking rugby, and that's what we love. Good morning, JB.
Good morning, Tim, and I, for one, could not be happier to be in a darkened dungeon with yourself actually present.
Actually here.
It feels like you've been on the Lions tour.
Yeah, sorry about that. And Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Wearing a wonderful Crusaders vest.
Yeah, treat myself to some new stash.
Ah, very nice.
Alpha mailing it up in this place. Now, before we start the podcast, can we all just have a moment's reflection for any other rugby podcast that has decided to take
Tim,
the summer off?
Tim.
Just have a moment.
We don't compare. we have no peers. Stop it now.
We're here 52 weeks a year. The Lions tour may be over. This podcast will be a little less Lion-y, but it'll be 100% rugby-y. So let's get into it. We're going to have a stash watch, and I've got prepared a stash watch quiz as well. We are going to be previewing a couple of teams ahead of the season. We've got 7 weeks, I think, till the start of the new Avicii Premiership.
Which is perfect. It means we can preview every team in the Pro 12 and the Pro 12 and the Premiership.
Oh, too right. We will get through all of them. Don't you worry about that. And in addition to that, just other rugby stories, transfer rumour mill.
Generic banter.
And yeah, bring it on.
What do I start with?
Well, what's gone on in the world of rugby in the last 7 days? What stories?
Can I start with something negative?
Okay.
Something came to my attention last week, and I did mention it on last week's podcast because we had lots of lining stuff to get to. Have you seen the article in the rugby paper regarding Dan Mugford?
I have.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
So Dan Mugford was released by Sale Sharks, and there's been a lot of awareness raised about mental health, and particularly by the RPA around the area of players transitioning from a playing career into a civilian career, if you want.
Yes.
Because we're now seeing the first rugby players retiring who have only ever done rugby.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Really good point.
So it's a really big area for the game. And so the RPA are brilliant at helping that transition. I've seen that with my brother. So anyway, Dan Mugford suffered a bout of depression. His relationship fell apart. He moved back home to Plymouth. I looked at the article and he gave... The rugby paper didn't... It wasn't an opinion piece. It was quotes from Dan Mugford. So on that basis, I'm kind of like, well, he obviously was happy to give the interview and be very open with his thoughts. So I was kind of okay with it.
I'm of the opinion that these things have to be discussed. I think it was completely irresponsible of that journalist to put what he put in the paper. In fact, I think it's B level. I think it's the more I think about it, the more I come to the conclusion that this guy is actually a bit of a scumbag because he should never have done this.
This guy is in the journalist.
Yeah, the journalist should. I mean, what's he reporting on ultimately? He's reporting on rugby, and if this is a story about 2 years ago. I had a bout of depression and then I came back stronger than ever and I'm playing great rugby, etc, etc, all for it. But if someone was to tell me when I was doing an interview or something like that I'm really depressed and, you know, I had an attempt on my life next week, I would not report that, because how on earth are you helping the individual? I'd ask them to seek help.
That is the bit that for me, so I, reading it, It was the timescales that seemed weird that it was reported.
Why would anyone do this?
So Dan was saying he's currently having huge problems with depression, lost his girlfriend a couple of weeks ago, attempt on his life a couple of weeks ago. Like, that's the bit that seemed very weird to me, that that was reported in the
just
way it was.
But reported... there's no investigative journalism going on here.
It's not gotcha or anything like that. But the fact is, it's just all we cover is sport, really. It's just a game. And I don't think, if you're suffering some problems, why on earth do you want... Even if you tell the journalist, why do you want the journalist to put it everywhere? I mean, maybe he did. Well, but then the journalist should be thinking, hang on, I'm just really a sports writer. Maybe I should tell Dan to... You know, seek some help, that kind of thing. Well, and it's not helping.
I'm sure he is getting help, but we can only assume. Let's assume the best in people for a second. We can only assume that the journalist probably said, had a chat specifically. Dan Mogford wanted to chat about his life post sale and trying to rebuild it. And let's assume that was the case, and he was fully aware of where this was going to be published, and the journalist has only put quotes in the rugby paper.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. He hasn't added any opinion.
He could have dressed up and said, "Yeah, Dan has struggled with his transition from Sale. He did not need to go." I mean, he even named his ex-girlfriend. That's weird. That is weird. That to me, it's just it's unthoughtful. It's unhelpful, and it's a little bit like almost clickbaity. I really hate it.
Just trying to put some positive spin on it. It is. So, like you said right at the start, Tim, raising awareness of this kind of transition and these issues, it is really important. The RPA does some brilliant work with their lift the weight stuff. So, raising the awareness for both Dan and other people is great. And providing Dan gets the right help and this is dealt with in the right way, I'd really be optimistic that he can go on and play, get back to playing some great rugby, the kind of rugby that propelled him from the championship to the premiership in the first place.
That isn't an issue here. I think it's irresponsible journalism. I think it's really opportunistic, actually.
So going from a slightly depressing note
to Danny Mogford.
Excuse the pun.
Dan Mogford's no longer in the city that we're in, so we're not going to bump into him in a bar anytime soon. But all the best to you, Dan. And get back on that field when you can, fella.
Club previews.
Yeah, there's not been a whole lot of movement in terms of players and stuff. Like, teams are back and in pre-season training now. Lions players obviously will be on the beach.
Yep.
Yeah, have you seen any of them, where they've gone to, the Lions?
No, have you been keeping an eye?
I keep one eye on
them. Are they away with the girlfriends? I should have really had a
closer eye. I know they're away, but I don't know where. James O'Connor has landed.
He's in town, is he?
Yep. John O'Ross has landed. Obviously, Faf the Clerk is still playing, but Sale Sharks look like they've got the majority of their new signings. Josh Strauss hasn't arrived yet, from what I understand. But no one's really speaking about James O'Connor, and I guess it's because Sale are slightly unfashionable. But, you know, this is a real star signing.
You sound like you're now delivering party lines for Sale Sharks. Remember, here's your briefing for today. Remember, we're unfashionable.
They're strong and stable.
In the north.
They're strong and they're stable. It's exciting stuff. I mean, Curtly Beal was obviously a far bigger signing last year. But I don't think there's a bigger one in the Premiership this year. Certainly,
that's interesting. Like, is that the biggest Avicii Premiership signing? Because this summer's probably characterised by big names leaving the Premiership. Curtly Beal.
Yep.
And
Pickamalls.
Pickamall.
Yeah, Pickamalls is a big blow.
I think he might be, unless Leicester have got something up their sleeves, because they are desperately trying to sign people for Matt O'Connor's scheme. I've seen some of the signings. It's not great, but we'll get onto that later. Northampton is desperately searching for an eight, which they don't have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because
it is.
Will they go back with Tamana Harrison, who played eight there for a little while?
Yeah, and they've brought in Mitch Eadie.
He's a very good player.
He is a very good player.
He's a very, very good player.
He's different to Pickamalls. I mean, most players are different to Pickamalls.
Yeah, I'm different to Pickamalls.
Yeah. But we spoke during the Lions about the athletic eights and the eights who are good heavy traffic carriers.
Yeah.
Pickamalls is one of the very best heavy traffic carriers.
Do you think he is? Him and Billy are like 1A and 1B heavy traffic carriers.
I'd say they have to be the two best in the world, don't they?
Is there anyone else who kind of
Dwayne Vermaelen.
Yeah, those are the kind of three, aren't they, which
yeah.
you think, yeah, they're good with lots of contact.
Yeah, and just getting the contact, the few yards after the contact, and then always securing the offload.
I wonder if you could put all three of them into a back row. No, you can't really. I can't remember, imagine Pickermore's playing anywhere but eight. I can't imagine Billy playing anywhere but eight.
Did Billy play a little bit of six when he was younger?
When Nathan Hughes showed up?
No, I'm more thinking when he was quite a bit younger.
He might have. Hughes and Billy played in the same back row? I always think one of them is off the pitch.
Yeah, they might have done a little bit.
Do you know what we did not mention that happened after the last podcast?
No.
Was Carl Sinclair arrested after
sinking the clink.
Yeah. Although really, the bit of the article about that story that I read that was most pertinent was police confirmed a male was placed under arrest but was not charged after further inquiries established that the incident did not warrant prosecution. And Sam Warburton also came out this week and said nothing happened. So essentially, basically, Carl Sinclair drew a series playing for the Lions, fulfilling a boyhood dream, and got drunk. that's the story.
Yeah.
Asked a policeman for directions. The policeman thought he was intoxicated, gave him a lift home.
But I am looking forward to that episode of Police Camera Action or whatever. One of those like fly on the wall documentary.
28 policemen pulled out. Rugby player.
So one of the beauties of Instagram over the Lions period has been the players' videos.
Oh yeah.
And one of the disappointments is that most of them were through the 24-hour the Snapchat. Instagram stories thing. Snapchat style stories.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do for next week. Sorry, I know you were mid-sentence then. Because I recorded a bunch of them through the tour into audio form.
Nice.
So what we will have next week, I'll do like a top 10 countdown of the best Instagram story videos from the Lions tour.
Well, did you see the outfits that... So they kind of spent 2 days on the piss, basically after the final game. Did you see the outfits that Mako and Tolupe Faletau were wearing in particular?
No, I mean, I can imagine is that Tolupe Faletau had his normal deadpan face on.
Yeah, he did, while dressed as a matador.
Oh, wow. Amazing. What was Mako in? Matador as well?
No, Mako was in this weird kind of childish costume with... Do you remember those... They're more like a cartoon hat.
A bonnet.
A hat with a propeller on.
Oh,
no,
okay. A Dunce's like geek hat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, one of those. And then it seemed like there was a few people, those two included, were wearing full fancy dress. And then everyone else was just in like the normal casual clothes.
Love it. Right, so coming up on this podcast, we've got a stash watch. We're going to look at all the kits, the beautiful, sexy kits that have been released and the less beautiful, not so sexy kits that have been released. But over in this off-season period, we're going to be just throwing different clubs under the microscope, having a little bit of an MOT on them, seeing how they're getting on, seeing if any more tinkering needs to be done and how it's shaping up and what sort of a season they might expect. And we've been asking fans of those clubs, you, to email in your thoughts on your team, and that will form the basis of our discussions. And we've had some fantastic contributions already.
Some absolutely awesome ones.
Yeah.
So you can email us, excuse me, contacteggchasers@gmail.com. So we've got Phil's pride, Ulsterman.
We certainly do.
So go on, why don't you take it away, Phil? So firstly, this email was from, I've forgotten the name.
Edward Dawson.
Nice one, Ed.
Who's done a very good, very in-depth analysis of a kind of very brief review of last season and then some of the things to look forward to.
A trip to Ravenhill is long overdue for us.
Oh, it really is.
So many trips, which are long.
Ravenhill's long overdue.
I've promised the last couple of years that I'll be at the Kingspan this kind of the next season. I will definitely be at the Kingspan.
Talk's cheap, mate.
This season.
You've only been doing the podcast for 4 years.
Definitely.
Come on then, Phil.
I have done an Ulster game a year for the last couple of years. Edinburgh, Leicester.
Yep.
Well, if this was football, or no, in fact, probably rugby's the same. That's where the real diehard fans go. Go to away games.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So, first thing Edward points out is just the disappointment from last year, struggling to finish most of the chances when we got into the opponent's half. Scrum very solid. and line out was very good, but forwards failing to get any gain line success. He said it was like Thomas Franson was making nearly every carry for Ulster.
Harsh.
And signings like Rodney RU was more of a source of trouble than JB-like carries.
Ooh,
particularly against the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh.
So, yeah, where they struggled to contain their...
bigger, more powerful opponent. Have that, delinquents.
Departing servants, Pienaar, going to Montpellier.
Oh, man.
Who he describes as the cornerstone raiser of professional rugby.
Wow. So that's true.
South African by birth, Ulster by the grace of God.
And he's even said this week, Ryan Pienaar, in an interview, that he feels like he'll be back in Ulster, possibly at the end of his playing days.
He
really, really has connected with that place, which makes it all the more sad and inexplicable that he's been forced to move elsewhere.
There's clearly some underhand politics going on there, isn't there?
There is.
We've done that to death, but yes.
Not part of the Edward Dawson piece, but David Humphreys in an interview last week said that in 2013, when Ruan signed a new 3-year deal with Ulster, he was offered 2 or 3 times the Ulster money to go to France.
Well, there's a lesson there to everyone.
And rejected it.
Take the money.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so obviously Ruan is going. Roger Wilson retiring. Big Franco van der Merwe has gone to Cardiff. Mm. Ricky Lutton retired. And then there's a whole host of kind of second choice or academy players who are leaving, most of whom will probably end up going to the Championship. Incoming, there's not been a huge amount of business done by Ulster this year.
So, is that a good sign?
If last season was really successful, probably yes. Last season was disappointing, so maybe not. So bringing in John Cooney, who's scrum half, former Leinster, but has been at Connacht for the last couple of years. He's a very handy player. He played scrum half, and I'm sure I've seen his name down at fly half for a few games, because he's always been kind of battling against Marmion for the first choice berth at Connacht, although that is a battle that Marmion has ultimately been winning. So he's good to bring in. We're also bringing in a Southern Kings prop, who's a good player, although... As Edward points out, he's about to have shoulder surgery, so he'll be...
I saw that. What are they doing? There's all these South Africans with questionable injury statuses.
Kurtzia has been... He played maybe 3 or 4 games last year. He was brilliant when he played, but he just doesn't seem like he's ever been right. It was cruciate damage.
And Nick Williams still is probably the biggest gap in that team that they haven't filled.
Is Nick Williams still playing?
No, he's still playing.
He's still the Blues.
Blues, yeah, right. Yeah.
Maybe they should have kept him. There is something to be said, isn't there, for like a bigger body type, but bit more fat on them, a bit more rounded. And
you don't see many of those characters anymore, do you?
You kind of do, actually.
You reckon?
Yeah, Thomas Waldron.
There used to be loads of them, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
There used to be tons of them, like C. Sequoia Maboli. Do you remember him at Sale? And, he was the fella.
I tell you,
a Petit Fenua didn't really, as sort of, thought, he looked great.
Yeah, a Petit Fenua was
when he plays.
Is it Callum Afoni? He's gone to Leicester. He's a big old boy.
Yeah, he's a big unit.
And actually, even someone like Pickermans, He's not ripped up, is he?
No, he looks like one of those...
He looks like a farmer.
Do you remember the card game Misfits, where you had to match the legs, the body and the head? It's like, Pickermall looks like he's got different legs to his upper body. His legs are ridiculous.
Yeah. He's just got Pickermall's, the natural, brutal strength of the man.
So what we're saying, they need a more rotund eight.
Yeah.
Well, we've also brought in Daysel, as a kind of utility back row from Sharks and Munster. He's playing a bit of Munster.
Oh, yes.
He does feel like... So, size and weight in the pack, but he does feel like a kind of periphery player.
Yeah.
Prospects, Rob Little, young winger, who Edward describes probably similar to Gilroy. Some brilliant attacking moments, but weak in defence. There's a couple of props. Tommy O'Hagan, a prime lump of Derry meat who packs down at Loosehead, and Tom O'Toole, who's not yet even in the academy, as a tight head.
Do you know what? Ireland, overall, have got some phenomenal props coming through. The one that I mentioned at the 2016 World Under 20s Championships, John Porter, got himself his first Irish cap this summer.
Did he?
He's a frightening
lad.
Talent. He's a Leinsterman.
Yeah.
Frightening prospect.
Yeah.
So they've the next wave. You've just got, you know, Tadhg Furlong and McGrath. You've got they're replacements in waiting. It sounds like Ulster have got a couple as well.
There are. There's a couple. I'll kind of temper that and just say we'll wait to see. You can have the best schoolboy or academy of players, but how they transition from that level, particularly at prop, where they're coming in so young. And then probably the biggest area of change is coaching. And this is probably the biggest area to be optimistic about. John O'Gibbs coming in to give that that pack the hard edge that
it
needs.
What's happened to Les Kiss? Is he director of rugby?
Sorry, the obligatory little giggle whenever Les Kiss.
So they're going to have John O'Gibbs as head coach, and then they've got Dwayne Peel as attack coach.
Yeah, Dwayne Peel comes in as well. So Peel will be interesting, because obviously he's an incredibly talented player. We've certainly not yet seen the best of his coaching ability, and he's still a very young and relatively inexperienced coach. Mm. But if you can get the best out of those two,
Les Kiss will do his due diligence, and he's a man that knows about attacking rugby, so that's a big feather in the cap for Dwayne Peel that he's been brought in, I'd say.
Yeah, so that's the bit that I'm most optimistic about. Ulster have got some brilliant players right across the board. Backline exciting, particularly in the centres, and the pack. If you can get Curtsy on the field, if you get Hendo firing, Rory Best, and the other boys, get all those working together. There is something to be optimistic about. Edward does finish by saying he believes that this year will finish in a similar way to last season. Players and coaching staff won't necessarily click perfectly, although there will be some massive performances. And he specifically says massive performances against Wasps, Leinster, Munster and Harlequins, who will all be thrashed.
Oh, nice.
And scathe into the last 16 of Europe to get beaten in the quarterfinals.
Good work, Edward.
And he does reiterate the point we made before. I hope the top lads at Egg Chasers can make it across to stand up for the Ulstermen, witnessing an atmosphere that can't be replicated in any fortress in the world, apart from the AJ Bell.
I've been there once for the Exeter Chiefs European match last year, and
that was some game as
the
well.
The atmosphere was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I think that might have been, because I had Gareth Steenson on the Rugby Dungeon last week, and I think that might
just
have been...
Just do another ding, because you mentioned Sale earlier, it didn't do that.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think that might have been maybe the best game of last year, Ulster versus...
Tension-wise.
Versus Exeter. Well, those three drop goals at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, the theatre of it was amazing.
The Ulster-Clermont home game, the victory an incredible game.
That
as well.
Was amazing. Now, I'm going to suggest, before we do the Leicester Tigers one, we just break it up and have a quick stash watch.
Ooh, yes.
I've got a little stash watch game which we can talk about some of the new kits.
Okay, fire away.
Within it. So you two play against each other. Play along as you're listening. There are some clubs that have changed their kit manufacturer and or sponsor. So we'll just see how much of that you know. So keep a note of your answers somewhere. Or in fact, we'll do them one at a time.
I can drop them down on my...
All right.
First one to touch my bell gets to answer the question.
The real bell or the synthetic bell?
Go for the real bell.
Okay.
Stade Francais, manufacturer and sponsor.
So we're going to jot these down?
Jot it down. Well, I think we'll do them one at a time. But so, Phil, if you write yours down and then JB can answer first.
Okay. And sponsor?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, so is the kit manufacturer ASICS?
What have you got down as a kit manufacturer?
I've got down Kappa.
It is ASICS.
And is the sponsor... Is this... it's going to be something silly, isn't it? Is it Orangina?
So Orangina have historically sponsored Toulon.
Ah, yeah, they have.
I have no idea on the sponsor. Okay. I put down Eden Park.
JB was closest. Well, in the it was a drink, Capri Sun. Oh. I have to say, the new Stade Francais kit has kind of been spoilt by their sponsor. It's got a big arcing Capri Sun, really big.
So Stade Francais have spoiled. Yes, they were the first with the pink stuff, and the pink stuff is great. But I'm looking around now. In fact, I've got a pink Stade Francais.
There's one right there, in
just here. You know, Cardiff Blues have got one. Got that one up. Pig Barons, they count as a professional team. Got that one up.
No,
but there's a load. There's loads of pink kits. That's the point I'm trying to make. They should go back to their electric blue with red flashes. They've that got was so cool.
They've got electric blue. This their new kit with sort of pink flashes.
No, it's gonna be red.
Lightning bolt. Oh no, no, it might even be red actually. Now I think about it.
Oh really? That'd
be interesting. I think it might have gone back to a traditional look, but it's kind of for me been spoilt by
Capri Sun.
There it is. There's the new kit. Yeah, oh god, it's a horrible kit. It's like Sergio Parise looks really bad in it. It actually looks,
That's genuinely disgusting.
Ooh.
There's no redeeming features of that whatsoever. Ooh. It's not edgy.
So the one thing I do like about it is the two badges in the middle of the chest. I quite like that. But
the Asics badge and the Stade
Francais. God, it's awful.
It's really terrible.
I hate the badges too.
It's about the worst kit that's been released this summer.
I can't remember a worse kit than that.
Yeah, it is terrible. It looks like one of those 1980s football kits where it just looks like someone's vomited on the
shirt. Do you know what it looks like? It looks like, this shell suit zip-ups.
It really does. It's
Or a goalkeeper's kit.
And for a club that have prided themselves on striking, but nonetheless, innovative, but striking shirts, that is just disgusting. So anyway,
who's the last rugby team you can think of sponsored by Capri Sun?
By Capri Sun.
Capri Sun. I'll go for.
We have mentioned it on the pod as well.
We have mentioned it.
Have we?
Have
you got access to our archives on there?
I remember mentioning it this year, 2017.
Let me go for an Italian club, Treviso.
No idea.
It is that kit?
Who is that? Oh, Germany.
Germany. So they've got this lovely Adidas kit, black, red and gold, with their eagle or hawk badge, which looks incredibly evil. And then Capri Sun across the middle.
Yeah, we did talk about that, you're right. It spoils the look. So, okay then. Well, you just talked. Germany's kit is made by Adidas, who are losing quite a number of kits this summer, including Italy. So next question is, who is Italy's new kit manufacturer? For the next 8 years as well.
That's a long-term
Adidas
deal.
Adidas lost them.
Yeah.
Phil, do you want to go first?
Well, I'll jot something down. Okay. I've got something written down.
Hang on, I've seen this kit as well.
It is a lovely kit, I have to say.
Is it Kappa?
It's not Kappa.
So I've written down Macron.
Oh. It is Macron.
Yes.
Macron. A taking on this. Macron have exponentially increased the number of shirts and organisations they're manufacturing for.
Well, who have they got? Massively. They've got Scotland and they've got Italy.
Scotland, Italy, but there are a bunch more teams.
They do the Scottish, they do Edinburgh and Glasgow as well.
Oh, they do, right.
Yeah. And Northampton Saints.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Starting this season as well. Who Northampton Saints have a new sponsor for the first time in ages. Isn't that Travis Perkins?
New shirts? That is the oldest sports sponsorship in the world.
I think they're still involved in the club.
Yeah, but just not as the premier sponsor.
Not as the title sponsor on their jersey, which is now Tool Station.
Oh, which probably sounds like it's owned by Travis Perkins.
And it's one of, I'll tell you what, I think it may be, but it's one of those examples where Travis Perkins was in the yellow, lettering.
Yeah.
Which worked with the design of the kit. Tool Station is white, is like a white background with red writing, which on a green, black and yellow shirt looks really horrible.
Yeah, we need sympathetic colour palette for the kit and sponsors.
Completely agree with you there, Phil. Something we've talked about many, many times. Also, I think if we were going to add a lore variation, it would be on the size of that logo as well.
Yes.
And a good example of that is, I mean, one of the greatest shirt sponsors that you could possibly find anywhere, BT Sport. However, on that Scotland jersey...
Tool Station or part of Travis Perkins PLC.
Oh, so they're still sponsors. It's still the same thing, but...
Thank God we sorted that out for the greater rugby public.
The colour palette, not acceptable. But yeah, the BT Sport logo on the Scotland jersey is just too big for me. Right, Wales have a new... Two more international teams have new kit manufacturers. Have manufacturers or sponsors. France have a new kit manufacturer. Again, Adidas are no longer doing France or Italy. Those two gorgeous kits. So starting...
Well, France went downhill, actually, last year, so...
From 2018, who will be sponsoring France's kit? Just have a guess.
Sponsoring or manufacturing.
We haven't seen the shirt for this yet. They've only announced the deal.
So.
But it's not going to have those beautiful three lines down there.
I think, because I actually think some of the best French shirts were Nike. I think it's Nike.
I'm just about to write down Nike, yeah.
That's a shame.
It is Le Coq Sportif.
Ooh.
You're having a bit of a resurgence, which kind of makes sense.
Is this just rampant nationalism? Because Macron is Italian. Le Coq Sportif. Must be French, right?
Possibly. Well, let's see if you think Wales's new shirt sponsor is rampant nationalism, or maybe it's not. Who is the new sponsor of the Wales jersey? Unfortunately, they're changing the sponsor, but they're keeping the shirt. That's the bad news.
So it's still Under Armour, but it's...
Still Under Armour, and it's still that horrible...
their sponsor.
What was the guy in Futurama? Captain...
Oh, yeah.
Zap Brannigan, that's the boy.
Yeah, yeah. Still looks like he's him.
So what was Wales... Who was Wales' sponsor last year?
Admiral, was it?
Oh, Admiral, yeah.
Because
they've had Rockport in the past, they've had Brains in the past. They probably had a few others.
I can't think of anything. What would be bad enough to go on the Welsh shirt? I don't know. couldn't tell you.
Well,
Job Centre.
Isuzu. Is their new
sponsor. Oh, I did know that.
Sponsor.
And that's actually quite good. Isuzu is like, it's a horrible word, and it's not a nice logo, but I quite like what they do. It's like big trucks and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, then. And finally, and I haven't even got the score. I think JB's up by
a thousand to 500.
But Phil, you can draw it if you get both of these. Ospreys have a new shirt sponsor and new kit manufacturer.
Me.
Let Phil write it down. Then.
Me.
So I know the manufacturer. Yeah.
But you got that email as well.
Yeah. I didn't have time to open the email, unfortunately, so I don't know the sponsor.
Yeah, I don't know. It's Canterbury, isn't it? And
it is.
Sponsor, don't know.
It is Canterbury, new kit manufacturer for the Ospreys. Lovell Rugby.
Oh, really?
Moving into shirt sponsorship.
Now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ospreys. I've had a good think about this because I was looking at their training gear. It's so nice. And Canterbury are doing it. Obviously, we've got a little link up with Canterbury there. I was just wondering this question. Has there ever been a club with a nicer colour palette to work with who creates more disgusting playing tops? So what they're effectively black, white and gold.
Yeah.
So that's, really, you've really...
Nice starting point there. There are some teams that are hamstrung by the colours they have to have to use.
Not the Ospreys. And then they go make a purple shirt. And then they go make a green shirt. I mean, they've had some awful, awful shirts.
They really have.
But when you simplify it down to just a black, white and gold, that's pretty nice.
Mm. You can do a lot with that.
The training gear is lovely, actually.
Speaking of disgusting shirts, Exeter Chiefs European jersey's been unveiled.
Okay, so I like it. I like it because there are some things that are meant to be. Right, Exeter Chiefs shirts, particularly European shirts, are supposed to be disgusting. I mean, that's kind of, if they came out with something nice, it wouldn't be in keeping. So no, I'm all for this, and the more disgusting that they can make it, the better for everyone.
Now it's the thing. Now you have anticipation. It's like, oh, I'm waiting for the first Lions test, and the Lions series was out. It's like, oh God, I can't wait. It's like waiting for Christmas, waiting to see how disgusting Exeter can make their European jersey.
Exactly. Yeah, it's vile. Well done, you guys. Mission accomplished.
And their home shirt that was announced at the same time.
The home shirt. I don't know. What is Exeter's home colours? Is it black? Is it black or white? Or is it white?
It's black or white.
So the black shirt that was announced at the same time is nice. Lovely. Nice. Really nice.
Yeah, really just simple.
Yeah. What is simple. The other one? What is that all?
That pink and white.
And what are the markings on
monstrosity.
It's not as bad as...
There are two. There's two Chiefs.
I prefer it to...
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Two Chiefs.
I prefer it to the green and whatever, green and blue and whatever, and black, whatever that horrible European shirt was last year.
Don't forget the orange one.
Yeah, there's some awful... You work back the... Yeah, the one that looks like the Waikato Chiefs. There's the blue and blue, light blue and dark blue. There's the blue and pink.
I mean, on the plus side...
There's the all pink.
On the plus side, it's great community outreach to offer a prize to five-year-olds for designing kits.
Here's a stencil, design me a kit.
And the final one, I just had one on kit then. And the final thing to mention on kit is this weekend currently the Super Rugby teams are playing in the Australian Super Rugby team. No, in fact, all Super Rugby teams are playing in Indigenous jerseys.
Don't care.
And Australia even announced an Indigenous jersey.
By the way, that
they're
shirt is disgusting. Yeah. That is one of the worst shirts of a generation.
Yeah, they've just set back relationships with...
Yeah.
The native population back decades.
If I was an indigenous person, like, what is that? It's awful. And it's going to age so badly as well. The problem is, because it's indigenous, no one dare say a word. Oh, it's lovely. And they need to be told, it's disgusting.
Because it's obviously a very sensitive issue. I feel the need just to say, I was clearly joking then. Someone will take that little snippet out of context. And
Sorry, I really respect it. It's a really, really nice... Fuck off, no. Dull.
Have you seen any of the results from Super Rugby this weekend?
No.
So, we've had the Pro 12 Bowl.
Yep.
Which was a tremendous game. Yeah, the Kings hosted the Cheetahs in Port Elizabeth. And I watched the highlights this morning. It finished...
I can't wait till Stuart Barnes is commentating on that.
It finished 20 points to 21 to the Cheetahs, who scored 15 unanswered points in the last 13 minutes.
Oh, wow.
To come back and win. And also, the Sunwolves hammered the Blues.
Amazing, this.
I saw that result.
And the Blues beat the Lions, and the Lions drew with the All Blacks. What does that tell you?
Sunwolves are the best team in the world.
Correct. Amazing, isn't it? So, all of a sudden, the Southern Kings, who are kind of a byword for incompetence, not only in the way they play, but the way they're administered and the way they were formed, have won some fairly impressive games. They've beat the Jags away. They've beat the Bulls, who admittedly aren't great, but they still beat them. And now they've beaten the Blues.
You say it's used as a byword. I've heard that. I've heard investors in underperforming companies complaining that the company they've invested in has been... Are the Southern Kings of car manufacturing?
Exactly, yeah.
The Southern Kings of,
like, Woolworths with the Southern Kings of retailing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly that.
And the other game, my beloved Canes took on Crusaders, the unbeaten Crusaders.
What happened?
And beat them 31-22.
Have that, Crusaders.
Yeah, they deserve it.
None of the All Blacks back in the side, or were they?
So, Crusaders seem to have rested more players than the Canes. So, Perenara played, Julian Surveyor played, Laumapi played, Jordy Barrett played at 13 for the Canes. And most of the tight five for the Crusaders were rested. Whitelock was rested, Franks was rested.
They'll play three times.
Cody Taylor was rested. Kieran Reid and Israel Dagg both played, though.
Hero.
heroes.
Indeed.
Right. So,
I have got
a little bit of stash watch. Yeah, we're going to put the throw the spotlight on an Avicii Premiership club now.
Yeah, I have got one of the best written reviews I think we've ever had here.
Comprehensive and best written.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. You're going to love this, but you're only going to love it after Tim tells you about our sponsor, Cornerstone.
Yeah. Well, we heard earlier Ruan Pienaar described as the Cornerstone razor of rugby players. I would completely endorse that sentiment. In other words, the best. So Cornerstone, yeah, they're a mail order razor company. They've been helping, we've been working with us for the last few years, and we've been introducing hundreds and thousands of people to the wonders of Cornerstone razors, which just imagine getting delivered to you in a couple of days' time for £4, right? £4, less than a pint, and delivered to you in a beautiful Cornerstone presentation box, which you will open to find a free engraved shaft. None of this disposable stuff where the handle and the razors are separate. This will stand beautifully in your bathroom with your initials on it, so the missus knows not to touch it. She probably will anyway.
Exactly.
But there you go, delivered in that box with six precision razors, which when the BBC did a test against all the razors that they were tested against, Cornerstone came out on top. We get incredible feedback all the time. And as I say, £4, what are you doing not giving it a crack? It would have made a great Father's Day present recently as well. But
even better, retrospective Father's Day present.
Yeah, exactly. If you just want to, that would really surprise your old man.
Yeah,
actually, what a lovely,
really early or a little bit late.
A little tear to his eye, especially in this post Lions rugby post-apocalyptic world where there's just a barren landscape of no rugby, that will just make his summer. So cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, you get a £10 discount because you're with us, and that's why you can get just £4 free engraved shaft, six beautiful razors and whatever else you want. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg10 at checkout.
Leicester Tigers.
Right, first of all, huge thanks to James Hogarth and John Pugh, because they've sent me 8,629 words all on Leicester Tigers. So I'm not going to read out every word.
That's a dissertation.
Yes, yeah. I think one of them got a master's for this. So it's very comprehensive. What I'll do,
and that would have been from the University of Leicester, not De Montfort.
Exactly.
Leicester as well.
So what I'll
nothing
do,
wrong with De Montfort, mind, but anyway.
And I will, I sell this, I probably won't, but I might put this into some sort of blog post or something, and maybe share it on the Facebook page or something, because it is worth reading.
That's good, cool.
So, first of all, it was last season. Fairly disappointing. They had a couple of good wins. They outlined the win over Saints, but they also outlined their horrific European campaign.
Mm.
Big losses against Glasgow, against
Munster,
and there's one other where they got absolutely hammered.
Racing Metro in Paris.
Oh, did they beat Racing? No, they didn't.
No, they lost. They didn't get hammered, but they lost pretty. It was terrible away from home.
Yeah, wasn't that the away from home game when Racing had zero to play for and still beat them comfortably?
Wilford Road is still relatively fortress-like. They've only lost one game there last year. Do you know who that's to?
At Wilford Road.
Yep.
Glasgow.
Saracens.
Apparently, according to this, Sale Sharks.
Is that right?
Yep, did the double over them.
In the Premiership, presumably that's what.
Might have to look at that one.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
Let's reconsider it.
No, I'll go with that.
And this is where it all starts to get a little bit concerning. So, players out of the club this year, right? How about this for a list?
Well, before just very briefly, they say an awful year. They got to a semi-final in a season with three different DORs. With
absolute turmoil.
I agree with that. They got to a semi-final, which I would actually say, like, looking back, Tigers fans, I think you should be really proud that you finished in the top four and continued that run of what is now 14 years consecutively.
Yeah,
is it?
I think that's a very fair point, and it is worrying though, isn't it, with all that turmoil, and then it looks like they've almost taken a step backwards this off season. What's going to happen next?
Well, this is maybe what's more pertinent right now.
So, here are some people that have left. World Cup winning Springbok, JP Peterson. I can't understand this for life of me. Yes, I know he got injured mid-season. But in terms of players, like, I always thought about JP Peterson, like, yeah, big guy on the wing, don't really know much about him, not sure why he's an international. Until you watch him week in, week out, he's one of the most elegant runners. Just is such an understated rugby player. I can't believe that they've let him go. But he's gone to Toulon. Aussie capped winger Peter Beetham, who was quality for them because he played wing, centre.
Yeah.
I think he played fullback.
Very good utility player.
Very, very effective too.
He's gone to Clermont.
Freddie Burns, who was on the chopping block, really. I mean, you could even argue they didn't want to sign Freddie Burns to start with. It took so long to get him there. They keep him there for 2 or 3 years. He finally has his best season, and they ship him off.
He was playing some very good rugby towards the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely quality. And then Owen Williams, which is a huge blow.
Yeah, because again, particularly given the troubles that they've had with their centres and injuries in their centres, Tamura and Tuolagi in particular, he's a very handy player to be able to slot in at 10 or 12.
Tighthead prop Fraser Balmain to Gloucester. Ollie Bryant to Jersey.
Not bothered about any of those.
I tell you what I am bothered about, though. Two that I'm bothered about. Jack Roberts, I know we've spoken about this before, basically a kind of okay-ish guy to play in the centre.
He's a squad player. Right? Yeah.
But bearing in mind the troubles they've had at the centre, and bearing in mind how many injuries that they've had, I think Leicester need a rock solid, reliable option. Even if he's only average, the fact that he's able to walk onto a field is a real bonus for them.
I tell you what is partly driving this is the amount of cash that there is flying around for mediocre players.
Again,
I'm not going to talk any specifics, but
no, go on, go for it.
No, I'm not going to talk any specifics.
Who's on too much money?
Who doesn't deserve their money, Tim?
No. Less? It's market rates. You deserve what you get. But
who should live in a smaller house?
There are some players that have moved club this summer who are on eye-watering money.
Yep.
And are average Premiership players.
Yeah, you're probably right.
No, they're really...
Yeah, the Premiership players, aren't they? I mean, they might... Yeah, starting Premiership players. Yeah, I can see that. In the same mould as Jack Roberts, Mr. Reliable, Lachie McCaffrey got released last week.
That is an interesting call, because he was a very, very useful player.
I had Lachie McCaffrey as kind of like an outside bet for...
He was useful.
England A.
No, he was useful, but he wasn't amazing. He wasn't outstanding.
I thought he was.
I think with a lot of the names we've mentioned here, we should just remember this is Leicester Tigers, and I think this probably highlights Leicester's problem over a longer period of time. Is they have regressed in terms of, or other teams are now competing on a level with them because the financial clout isn't so much from the organisation and fans and season tickets and everything, although that helps. It's from the TV money, which means that everyone's got the money to buy these big names. Leicester was always the place where you had these superstars.
Yeah.
We're talking about, that maybe they should have kept Lachie McCaffrey. Good Premiership player. It's not Leicester Tigers European Cup winning Premiership title challenging player, is it?
I do agree with that. Is this not just a product of the new environment, though, that they find themselves in?
What, the TV money?
The salary cap and
the TV money. Everyone else has got money, which means average players cost a lot more than they did, which means it's harder to compete,
Well, I'm actually optimistic that this is more because of... So Brendan O'Connor, who's probably their first choice open side, and Will Evans, young English Will Evans coming through, that you've got there too.
Yeah.
Very good open size. Do you really need a third as the kind of squad backup player? Albeit McCaffrey has played 6 and 8 a little bit.
Yeah, and he can play 7. It doesn't really matter.
Mike Williams, Sione Calamifoni,
Luke Hamilton started playing some good.
Hamilton started playing okay at 8. Still think they're missing a real superstar at 8.
They got Tom Croft. Maybe this next year he'll come back.
Well, let's get on to him, shall we? So,
just one other player who's dropped out. It was halfway through last season, but ultimately it is still a big blow. Iurza.
Yep. So Iurza is obviously gone. Medical joker Maxime Mamoz has gone, and according to certain rugby journalists, Matt Tate, Tom Croft, John Kitto are also rumoured to be off.
Really?
So. Huge just gutting of the squad.
But arguably long overdue.
this pruning of this squad, which has got old, has got injured, yep, has been on old money but not playing at the old level. There's a lot of players that fall into that category with Leicester.
Tom Crough will have been on England and indeed Lions money for the last few years.
Yeah. Well, strange enough, the review does end with that Leicester have been settling for mediocre. So maybe something of what you said, Tim, which is, competent and mediocre that they've been settling for, were actually, back in the day, they would never settle for that.
Mm.
So players into the club.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's going to be loads, right? Wrong. There's George Ford. That
good to have him. Good player for half the season.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
If they can get in the top four, though, then he's there for the important part.
George Ford is a very good player.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. Right. Outstanding.
And they've got Joe Ford to back him up.
Never mind. Don't worry.
And they've had to spend an awful lot of cash to get George there. But he's there, and you could argue that's a good cornerstone, isn't it, for the rest of your, the next 10 years, perhaps.
George Ford, yeah.
You can build a team around that guy.
Yeah, you can keep George Ford there for a long period of time.
Winger Jonah Holmes. Anyone know anything about Jonah Holmes?
Nope.
Neither
good one. First name for a winger.
Yes.
That's promising. On that alone, I'm optimistic.
back row, Salone Calamfone, who we mentioned before. A 28-year-old squad centre, Gareth Owen from Scarlets. I know nothing about him, really. Winger centre, Nick
Matt Mullen. Gareth Owen's quite a big. He's quite a big unit.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well,
if it's the guy I'm thinking of.
Dominic Ryan from Leicester.
Leinster, sorry.
And an Australian sevens player. So, not exactly loads, is there?
No. And George Ford aside, no one box office.
Yeah. So, this is basically going to come down to a huge bet, isn't it? Which is, will Tamua and Tuolangi be able to stay fit?
It feels like it. It really feels like they're putting a lot of eggs into the fitness of those two.
Yeah. Now, I think between them, they played less than 7 games. But apparently Tamua was fit towards the end of last season. They just decided not to rest.
Should we come up with a hybrid name? Tuilua.
Tuilua.
Tumagi.
Such a gamble.
Well, they've been injured for so long. Surely they'll be fit now going forward. That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
Just the law of averages. That's what it means. Ask Tom Croft about that.
Reasons to be cheerful. Number one, they've still got a fearsome front row. Looks like Genge is actually really smart.
They do, and it's easy to overlook because we talk about not having box office players. Ellis Genge, they've signed a box office player, but they just signed him before he was a box office player.
Which is great business. That's exactly how you should do it.
That is how you should do it. Dan Cole as well is a massive... A huge quality player.
Two decent locks.
Dan Cole, 2 times Lion.
Yeah.
60-odd England caps. And for Leicester, he frequently plays 80 minutes a week.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see who's starting hooker. Will it continue to be Tom Youngs?
And they've got
Harry Thacker.
Thacker, who might play a bit in the back row, which
McGuigan.
He has done. And McGuigan is a very handy player as well.
And they've got so McGuigan's a player on the rise. Thacker's a player on the rise. In the second row, Don Barrow's a player on the rise.
Mm-hmm. Kitchener?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sort of...
Kitchener's a good player.
I mean, Kitchener was a guy who Brad Thorne described as would be an All Black if he played in New Zealand, which is high praise indeed from the great man.
Mm. It is. You see glimpses of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if he's ever lived up to his billing.
So, basically, front five is pretty good. Decent access. Youngs and Ford. So they've kind of got a build around that. And finally, they've got some sort of stability, which is they've got rid of the Cockerell and Major. I don't even think it is bickering, really. Just the uncertainty.
Just different philosophy.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be one voice, one vision.
In fact, you've got to say that probably the one thing you can say about Leicester when you look back last year is there was lots of issues behind the scenes, but the way that the individuals and the club present itself is always pretty impeccable, isn't it? Aaron Major was a true gent, the way he handled himself.
Yes.
Through all of that. So.
Absolutely.
And Cochrane as well.
There are also questions about the um, ab- about their chairman or their chief exec, Simon Cohen, because he's been in charge, obviously, of getting O'Connor back in, obviously, of letting a few lads go, and signing Ford. So this is basically going to fall on him. They follow on by saying there's going to be huge amounts of cap space. Unfortunately, no, because they've already spent it. So Damian McKenzie was linked to them. Malachi Fakatoa, neither of those came off. You would be expecting another signing, I would guess, before the season starts. And lastly, there are concerns about Welford Road itself and how they're not filling up the stadium, which I guess is unheard of at Leicester.
That is, but as soon as they start winning, it's a
there's
bit
a context to that in that it's significantly bigger than any other Premiership.
It is
Premiership ground, well, traditional Premiership ground.
About yeah,
not football stadiums and things.
Yeah. This the whole thing. I think you're right in what you said about the gamble on fitness. The whole thing for Leicester comes down to if they can get three players fit, who were missing the whole of last season, two of which we've mentioned, Tuilagi and Tamua. If you get those two firing at 12 and 13.
Dynamite.
That's enormous, particularly if you've got Youngs and Ford giving them ball. The other one, who hardly played a game last season, I'm not even sure if he played one game, Mullipola, Lugovi Mullipola.
Yeah.
It's such a useful scrum. You can play on both sides of the scrum and such a good ball carry, particularly because Leicester's back row is shorn of a few ball carriers. If you can get him fit and playing and back to his destructive best,
so
that's massive.
I read a piece, I can't remember where I read it from now, and they were talking about Leicester's recruitment, and they were saying Leicester don't sign big players, but equally as important is the fact that their academy isn't producing like it used to. You pointed this out a few weeks ago, Tim, that the England under 20s or under 18s didn't have a single Leicester player.
Yeah, this for the Six Nations.
What apparently they try to do is they try to pick off young lads who've kind of just broken into the first team, and that's where they see value, which strikes me as a very relatively risky thing to be doing.
Yeah, and also there's examples. There's the Avicii Premiership is littered with examples of players that Leicester have let go. One of them will be back with London Irish. We'll talk about on a future podcast. Alex Lewington.
Is he an excellent Leicester guy?
He was a Leicester Academy player, which Glenn Delaney had at Nottingham on loan. And then Glenn Delaney, when he went to London Irish,
took him.
Said if Leicester are getting rid of him, hey, you've got a home here at London Irish. So.
Why did they get rid of him? Was he too fast or was he too elusive?
He either scored too many tries. Yeah. He was too skillful, too fast.
It's bad
too
for
elusive.
Team morale, that mate.
And not injury prone enough. Yeah. As well.
So there's quite a few examples of players that have come through the Leicester Academy that they didn't rate.
Quite amazing. So, three positives for the season. Unspent salary cap and still opportunity for top-class recruitments in the backs. Matt Tamua, Manu Tuilagi, both seemingly fit. First team has one managerial voice. Obviously, that's very important. Three negatives. Unsettled squad. The academy continues to be neglected. That's so weird coming from a Leicester fan.
Yeah.
It really is odd. I'll tell you another guy who was Leicester Academy. Jamal Ford Robinson.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
And he's now just down the road with Northampton.
Exactly.
Wow.
And
yeah, God, just how much money they'd save had they kept those guys.
I know.
Wow, there you go.
And the last reason to be positive, so we've gone positive, negative, positive, Tom Brady's going to have a storming year this year. That's my boy.
Well, less competition on the wings now.
Yeah.
The
problem is with Tom Brady, if he gets called up to England...
The silver, it's the year of the silver fox.
The Chinese year of the fox.
Yeah, Peterson and Beetham leaving does open up a gap for Brady and Thompson.
Another one, Peter Odogwu.
Paolo Odogwu.
Paolo Odogwu.
Doggers.
Doggers.
Yeah, another good
Doggers.
Player. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to him. Oh!
Because Doggers last year...
Everyone stop. I've got gossip.
But Doggers last
it's
year
obviously sale related.
It is somewhat. I'm not going to tell you who it's related to. There is a rumour of a very high profile director of rugby coming to the Premiership, coming to a club near you, more than likely near us. But I'm not going to tell you which club.
A director of rugby.
I think I've told you.
A historic director of rugby.
Nope. or never had director of rugby ship.
But director of rugby ship
but I want a high profile player.
Does that mean Steve Diamond's going to be CEO again?
Owner,
chief
generic
exec
owner.
He's already CEO at the moment as well, isn't he? CEO, yeah. CFO. Now, pot washer. Look,
I
chairman.
Have not. I want to be clear. I have not got this off anyone at Sale. This is not. This is just chat among some fans, okay? Which I happen to overhear because I'm not a fan.
Is are they tempting Nigel Melville back from America?
Right. Just a quick one. It's not. He's never held a director of rugby. Okay. Is it directorship of rugby or is it rugby directorship or is it?
I'm not sure.
DOR. He's never been
a DOR. A DOR ship.
DOR ship.
Okay. Yeah, never done that. But
neither has Rob Baxter until this season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've rejigged his role. Ali Heath is now head coach. Rob Baxter's got the DOR title now. I wonder if that was just a way to reward him financially.
Probably.
By giving him a new job title. I don't know. Anyway, that's all boring business stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't see it makes any difference in terms of the
same people, just different job title.
Is it like the space missions? They had two pilots in each space mission. Neither of them wanted to be the co-pilot. So one of them was the pilot, the other one was the captain. That's how you do it, boys. So the director of rugby I'm referring to, Andy Farrell.
Wow. That raises a lot of questions. So he's currently doing a role with Ireland, isn't he? Which is... So you've seen people do the part-time defence coach with Ireland alongside doing, like Sean Edwards when he was at Wasps and Wales, mm-hmm. as a defence coach. Can you do a DOR, a full-time DOR role, and that part-time role, or would it be Ireland role gone? Because you would think that Schmidt would be desperate to keep him.
Depends on the money.
He's so good.
It depends on the cash. If Sale can afford him, they bring him back up to the Northwest, which is great. He's got that hybrid rugby league, rugby... I mean, apparently you can't work at Sale unless you have intimate knowledge of how to play rugby league. I mean, that's just what you need to do. He does fit the mould, and he does fit the ambition.
It depends what his career trajectory is. Do many defence coaches... What's next for most international defence coaches? What examples have there been of... Like Mike Ford, he was England defence coach. What did he do after he was England defence coach? He went and was a DOR of a club.
Sean Edwards has never gone past... I mean, it's a weird... I think the coaching path now is going to be a lot more coaches, a lot more specialists, and a lot more people who are happy to be specialists rather than take that step up to director of rugby or head coach. If I'm a really good defensive coach, I'll stick to that, thanks.
Yeah, I definitely see the merit of that. It's the old Peter principle, getting promoted to your level of incompetence. Exactly. You're a very good defence coach. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be a good head coach or DOR.
And that's where this sort of falls down to me, because Andy Farrell might be the world's most respected defence coach at the moment.
He probably is. Certainly, there were questions after the 2015 World Cup, but I think all those questions have been put to bed now.
But if there was any, if you can look at this through a positive lens, even back at the 2015 World Cup, it could potentially be that Andy Farrell knew he had more in him and so was trying to fill the space he sort of felt he deserved. Maybe he does see himself as the main man.
Yeah,
maybe.
In which case a DOR could be the good bridge to that.
Yeah.
I simply don't know, but it's an interesting rumour.
It'd be interesting to get the perspective of Lions players on him as a potential boss, because they will have spent... people that have never spent time with him before will have spent 6 weeks with him.
Watch his space. Might be absolute nonsense, might be something in it.
It would really surprise me. From both perspectives, from Diamond relinquishing so much control.
He can live in Wigan again.
He could, yeah, I'm not sure that's the most appealing
but
thing.
But no, I think Steve Diamond's intention is to relinquish control.
Is it?
Well, he tried it with Brian Redpath.
Yeah.
And John Mitchell.
But knowing what I know now, I can see kind of why Brian Redpath didn't work out as a head coach. That makes a lot of sense. Andy Farrell, there's one man Steve Diamond can't push around. That'd be Andy Farrell. Imagine going to try.
That's what's surprising me, because you'd think he'd want someone who he can still just have a little bit of control over.
Yeah, not the world's hardest rugby league player.
No, yeah. maybe Dimes has identified that, you know what, I need someone that's actually not going to let me anywhere near or let me sneak, let me get back in.
There's only a handful of men in the world. So that narrows it down to Andy Farrell or ex-rugby league commentator Steve-O. They really seem hard enough.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson could do it.
D.O.R.
Not, there's not many.
Vladimir Klitschko?
No, not hard enough.
Conor McGregor?
Too small.
Yeah.
Too small, yeah.
I mean, there's some people in the UFC ranks that maybe could do the job, but not many. Not many. Right, boys.
The old WWE wrestler, China.
Boys, you're going to have to wrap this up because I've got to take Talk H on some team building, though.
All right,
literally,
excellent.
In the next seven minutes, they're going to be arriving at my door, unless they're already here.
All right, well, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Acast on the Apple Podcast Store, and anywhere else you can find us. Subscribe. We're here throughout the summer. And Top Work Phil, Top Work JB, let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.